Thanks so much for coming. I want to thank Barry Finkelstein for putting this together, for encouraging this concept of taking our time together to learn Nach on a Wednesday night. And particularly as we approach Yom Naroim, we are close to halfway through Chodesh El, around halfway through Chodesh El, to turn our attention to Yonah, which after all is the final section of Tanakh that Chazal mandated that we read during the season. The last section of Tanakh before Ne'ilah, this entire period of 40 days of Elul and Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Mitzvah, Yom Kippur, that correspond, as Pirkei de Blazer tells us, to the final set of 40 days which Moshe Rabbeinu spends on Har Sinai, which climax in a successful, the first ever kapara of the Tzibur, palpably expressed by the second set of luchos with which Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai to the Jewish people on Yom Kippur. This entire 40-day period of El and Eseres Meitshuva, from a Tanakh perspective, climax with Yonah. As you see at the bottom of the second side of the page, Gemara Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph tells us that a long brisa that goes through what the laning and the haftarah is for various days of Yom Tov. And the brisa says, Mincha of Yom Kippur, you read from Parshas Arayos, the end of Parshas Achrimos, Umaftir B'Yonah. And the haftarah is Yonah. Beis Yosef tells you it's a Gemara in the end of Maseches Megillah Amud Aleph Amud Aleph. And why Yonah? So the Rishonim there on the on location, Rashi and Tosus discuss the reasoning behind the laning. But what's the reasoning for the haftar? So Rabbi Beis Yosef writes, "Umaftir biYonah lefi sheishba godel koach hatshuva." Yonah captures the greatness, the power, the magnitude of tshuva. Okay, so it seems like an appropriate climax. What exactly does Yonah tell us about tshuva? So, you know, when we think about Yonah, I think we usually think about the first parak and the third parak, the most colorful parts of Yonah. And in that, we see Yonah's struggle. We see Yonah bring the sailors to tshuva. We see Yonah bring the people of Nineveh to tshuva. There certainly is a lot of tshuva going on in Yonah. But I want to turn our attention to one of the less studied prakim, one of the less focused upon prakim. You have in front of you all four prakim of Yonah, and at bird's eye view, it's Yonah on the sea, Yonah in the sea, Yonah in Nineveh, and then Yonah above Nineveh. And the first parak is Yonah leaves Eretz Yisrael and gets on the boat, and most of the first parak of his back and forth, the storm at sea and his conversations with the sailors. At the end of the first parak, he's tossed into the sea. The second parak, we see Yonah in the water, in the dugga. The third parak opens with now HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yonah again, and this time he heads to Nineveh. The third parak chronicles Yonah's trip to Nineveh and his conversations with people in Nineveh, and the way in which he successfully makes impact. He's machzir the people of Nineveh b'tshuva, and then finally the fourth parak is sort of the epilogue, where Yonah retreats to, looks like a hilltop, overlooking Nineveh, to see what's going to happen. And so those are the four prakim. In the first parak, he's above the water. The second parak is in the water. In the third parak, he's in Nineveh, and the fourth parak, he is overlooking Nineveh. And as we were saying before, our focus tends to often be on the first parak, Yonah and the sailors and the ship, and the third parak, Yonah comes to Nineveh, the second time he actually listens to Rabbeinu Shlom, and he comes to Nineveh and succeeds in getting them to do tshuva. And Yonah is a very, very fascinating figure. The Gemara in Sukkah points out that identifies Yonah as the boy, the miracle baby. There was a word, Psukim Malachim tell us about a family that hosts Eliyahu HaNavi repeatedly, and in Elisha, thank you. Elisha HaNavi repeatedly, and he, in return, asks them how he can help them. They daven for a baby, have the baby, and then the baby passes away, and the Navi is Mechayim Mason. This is that baby. He appears as well in Sefer Malachim. Most Mefarshim assume he is the same, Yonah ben Amittai, who appears in Sefer Malachim as having foretold one of the greatest Yeshuos during the period of the first Beis HaMikdash. One of the greatest Yeshuos, one of the greatest military conquests in the hands of the northern kingdom, Melech Yisrael, Yeravam II, King Yeravam ben Yoash, retakes an enormous amount of land in the north from other countries. And the Psukim say that it was Yonah ben Amittai who had foretold this Yeshua, but that Yeshua was not to last. Ultimately, the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, is going to fall, and apparently during the lifetime or soon after the lifetime of Yonah Hanavi, is going to fall to the Assyrian Empire, to Malchus Ashur, which was headquartered in Nineveh. And that's exactly where Yonah is sent. He is sent to Nineveh. He's sent, according to a very ancient Medrash, the Mechilta, from the days of the Tanam, the early Amram. Mechilta is the Medrash Halacha on Shemos. And the Mechilta, many of the Mefarshim on Rishonim, who write on Yonah, explained that Yonah's hesitancy, initially, it's one of the burning questions in the first parak. Why doesn't Yonah's a Navi, he's a Tzaddik, he's told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu he's what he needs to do. And he does an about face and tries to escape his mission. Why? So the most commonly quoted explanation is that the Mechilta, this Medrash on Shemos, that contextualizes Yonah's refusal to listen, his Seiruv Pekuda, as it were, his refusal to follow Kadosh Baruch Hu's instructions in the context of the history that we're telling. That by enabling Nineveh, Ashur, to do tshuva, he's enabling the survival of the nation that will ultimately be Shevet Apo, that will ultimately be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rod, as it were, to send the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, into Galus. And Yonah doesn't want to be involved. Yonah doesn't want to be an indirect role in bringing his brothers into Galus. And so Yonah seeks to escape the divine demand. As the Mechilta puts it very, very vividly, Tava Kavod HaBen Vo Tava Kavod HaAv. Yonah was very concerned with the kavod of the child, the kavod of Kalal Yisrael, but he wasn't concerned with the kavod of the father. In other words, on the one hand, it's beautiful that he cared about Kalal Yisrael so much. On the other hand, that same phrase captures, it's reminiscent perhaps of the phrase with which Yehuda Levi opens the Sefer HaKuzri. But opens with a picture of a king who's very well-intentioned, very religiously intentioned, but is following the wrong religion. And he has this dream in which he's repeatedly told, Kavanascha Ritzuya Aval Ma'asecha Ein Ritzuyim. Your intention is worthy. Your intention is acceptable. But your actions are not. You mean well. You're religiously motivated. But you're following the wrong religion. You're doing the wrong things. You're actualizing your spiritual yearnings in the wrong way. And so that's what the Mechilta seems to say about Yonah. Tava kavod haben, lo tava kavod av. He cared about something important, but he missed, it was totally out of proportion, out of context. He cared about Kol Yisrael, but at the expense of caring about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Yonah holds firm. We're going to approach the second parak, which the lesser studied second parak, in the context of the end of the first parak, because Yonah, the chet, which Yonah is grappling with, it builds this chet of avoiding and ignoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command that he head northeast to Nineveh, instead he heads westward into the ocean. So he holds firm. He's very committed to ignoring the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a storm at sea. And the sailors, all the passengers, trying to figure out why this storm. And they figure out that it's Yonah. And he explains to them. He tells them what he did wrong. Ki yadu anashim pasik perak al pasik good. Yadu anashim ki ilmi ifnei Hashem hu barech ki yigid lahem. He told them, here's what I'm doing wrong. He told them that I did a chet, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was punishing us. But Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ayom Re'ilav Mana Selach, what can we do to you? Yishto Kayam Me'aleinu, Ki Ayam Ho'lech V'Sal'er. So the Malbim understands that what they were asking was they're continuing the tochacha they had given him in Pasuk Yud. In Pasuk Yud they said to him, Mazo Sasiso, why do you do this? Why are you doing this? Why are you ignoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So they continue in Pasuk Yud Aleph to say, well, what can we do, as in, how can we enable your tshuva? Your chet is causing this storm, so let's help you undo your chet. Where can we take you? Where do you want to ride to? You want to ride to the shore? You want to ride to a shore near Nineveh? Maybe you want to go back there to Israel? And that's what they were expecting. They were expecting, I need a ride to X. But his response in Pasuk Yud Beis is, you don't want to know what you can do to save the boat? The only thing you can do is dump me overboard. He is obstinate. He's absolutely not going to go to Nineveh. You guys shouldn't suffer, but I'm not doing tshuva. The only thing you can do is dump me in the water. So uni v'hati luni l'ayom. And they try anyhow. They try anyhow, as Neil Pasuk Yud Gimel, to try to get back to shore, even though he's not asking for that. And in Pasuk Yud Daled, it's because they're frightened. They want to save themselves, but they're frightened, morally frightened, to throw him overboard. Al na novda b'nefesh ha'ishahi hazeh. We don't want, on the one hand, we don't want to all perish because Yonah's on board. On the other hand, al titen aleinu dam naki. We don't want to be responsible for murdering, for throwing Yonah overboard. Ki ato Hashem kasher chafatz tasis. And they turn and say, as the Malbim understands, you're God, and you're doing as you want. In other words, this isn't us. In other words, they're saying to Ribbono Shalom, this can't be, we can't be liable for Yonah going overboard. Not only because he's asking that we throw him overboard, but because you're the one who brought the storm. So they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to be on you. Yonah's death will be on you, Ribbono Shel Olam. On him, on you, but not on us. And that's the last time we see Yonah until Perek Gimel. So Yonah goes in the water, and then he comes out of the water, the very end of Perek Beis. He's spat out onto dry land, and all of a sudden in Perek Gimel, there's been a metamorphosis. Because in Perek Gimel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls to him a second time, the opening pasuk, Vayhi Dvar Hashem El Yonah Sheinis Leimar, a striking comparison to the first pasuk of Perek Aleph. Vayhi Dvar Hashem El Yonah Ben Amitai Leimar. Now it's Hashem speaks to him a second time. Yidvar Hashem al Yonah Sheinis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him a second time, and this time Yonah follows Dvar Hashem. So what happens? If we're looking not the tshuva of the sailor, not the tshuva of Nineveh, but the tshuva of Yonah, so what happened? He was so obstinate to the end, the entire Perek Aleph. Absolutely, I don't want, they're offering him a ride back, absolutely not. Dump me in the water. And suddenly, Perek Gimel, something has radically changed. What happened? So that's what really draws our attention to probably the least focused upon Perek, which is Perek Beis. Sometimes we focus on the first pasuk or two. Yonah's in the water. They threw him in Perek, and the Perek Aleph pasuk says, well, the sailors had thrown him into the water and the storm had stopped. So we tend to focus on the opening pasuk, the closing pasuk, Vayaman Hashem, Perek Beis Pasuk Gal. Kadosh Baruch Hu appoints a dog gadol, tremendous sea creature, Livloes Yonah, to swallow Yonah, and he's inside Me'e Hadag, he's in the innards of this sea creature, Shlosha Yom Shlosha Leis, for 3 days and 3 nights. And he begins to daven, and then Pasuk Gidal, the closing Pasuk of Perek Beis, Yom Hashem Ladag, V'yakei Sinu Al Yabasha. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the sea creature to spit Yonah back onto dry land. But what happens in the middle? So we tend to ignore these psukim, the difficult psukim. It's a tfilas Yonah, vayispalel Yonah. But as you read the psukim, they're very hard to understand. Something important must be going on here. But the question is what? And the psukim seem to come and go. At first, it's very hard to make sense. Pasuk Gimel, he says, I davened. Karasi mitzara li el Hashem. I davened. That's how you start a tefillah? I davened? Interesting.
I daven. Like, the story's over. Vayaneni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered me. And then in Pasuk Dalet, he's in trouble again. Vatashlicheni Metzula B'Lev Avyam. You threw me into the depths of the ocean. Nahar Yisalaveni, a river surrounds me. A river surrounds me. There's a river in the middle of the ocean. What's going on here? And then in Pasuk Hey, he's in trouble, and then he comes out of trouble. I near Marti Nigrashti. I thought that I was gone. I thought that I was sent away from you. But Osif Lahabit Lahechakachiba, I will yet see your Beis HaMikdash. What's going on? He's davening, but then he's in trouble. But then he comes out. But then again in Pasuk Vav, he's in trouble again. Afafuni Maiba Nefesh Tahom. Nefesh Tahom Yisoveveni. He's in the depths of the water. Suf Chavush Leroshi. Then in Pasuk Zayin, he's deep in the water, but then he comes out. Lekitzvei Harim Yoradati. But then Vatal Mishachas Chayai Hashem Elokai. Kadosh Baruch Hu took me out of. What? It's like in and out, in and out. Are we coming? Are we going? What's Yonah saying? And then at the end, he ends in a very positive note. I remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Mishamrei Hevel Shav Chastam Yazova, those who care about Narishkeit will not be taken care of, but I will bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Sherat Pasuk Yud. Asher Nadarti Yashar Leim Yishua Asal Hashem. These central 9 psukim in Parak Beis, see the central 8 psukim, from Pasuk Gimel to Pasuk Yud, they must be very important, but they're very confusing. What does it mean? So I want to share with you one approach to this, to these psukim, based in large part on the approach of the different pieces that the Malbim puts together, or try to weave some of the pieces of the Malbim together into a coherent approach. An approach that will, A, make sense of the psukim, and number two, hopefully give us some insight into part of Godel Koach HaTshuva. As we began, the Beis Yosef's understanding is that the purpose of reading Yonah at the end of Yom Kippur is to speak to the power of tshuva. So what are what can we learn from the tshuva of Yonah? So two things by way of introduction. Number one, the Malbim, as he opens the parak, he points out that, you know, part of the nais, one of the many layers of the nais in the Minui Hadag is among, Yonah survives in the dag, he survives without oxygen. He's inside a dag, and how is he even breathing? Forget about anything else. Forget about the fact that his body wasn't pulverized. Forget about food, forget about water in the middle of the ocean. He's oxygenless. And the Malbim says, and there's a lot of poetry in this, it's almost like a uber b'me'imo. A fetus isn't breathing either. A fetus is oxygenated through his mother. Fetus isn't directly breathing and survives. So the Malbim says there's like a fetal metaphor. There's like a fetal image here almost. It's like Yonah's being reborn. He thought he was going to be killed by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Gzeiras Hashem, because of his refusal, and he is thrown into, and the sailors think that they threw him to his death, and it's almost like he's being reborn. It's like he's going through a second pregnancy inside the dock. So that's just sort of by way of introduction. It's a fascinating image. And then there's a idea that the Gemara raises in passing in Masachas Nedarim, but seems to reject. Barashi on Yonah quotes as something that the other opinions in the Medrash, Niyachud Shimoni, accept, which is the language is interesting. The opening psukim in Perek Beis, there's a disconnect. Pasuk Aleph speaks about a dog. Pasuk Beis speaks about a daga. By Man Hashem dagadol. And he is B'mei HaDag, but then he davens for Mei HaDaga. So the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis has a conversation between Abaye and his Talmud Rav Papa, where they discuss, well, how do you understand, seems like, are these two different creatures? Maybe they're two different creatures. That's what Abaye seems to, Rav Papa asks Abaye about the disconnect in the language, and it sounds like it's Abaye who responds, someone responds to Rav Papa, well, maybe he was initially in one creature, then he ends up in a second creature, and he davened from the second creature. Now, the Gemara Darim
moves away from that. The Gemara Darim ultimately doesn't seem to need that, has another approach. But Rashi quotes from the Yalkut Shimoni that does accept the Havamina of the Gemara Darim, that he was initially in a dug, and he was there for 3 days, and he was getting comfortable. He was okay. He thought his life was over, and he gets saved by the dug, and it's comfortable. It's warm, it's cozy, and he wasn't davening. So Yalkut Shimoni says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I see you need to literally squeeze Yonah a little more. So he ends up, he gets spat out in the water from the dug, into swallowed by a daga, a female pregnant daga that's full of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of eggs. There's very little room. He's being squeezed, literally squeezed. At that point, he begins to daven. So Pasuk Aleph, he was in the daga doll for 3 days and three nights and didn't respond. It's when he's in the daga, that's when he davens, Pasuk Beis. I'm sorry? Yeah, that's the difficulty, is the Pasuk Yidal, for Yom HaShem Ladag. I'm not sure how the Yalkut Shimoni deals with that. I was wondering about that also. I'm not sure. So that brings you back to the Gemara Nedarim that says that maybe the terms are interchangeable. I'm not sure. We're working with the Yalkut Shimoni, so I'm not sure how the Yalkut Shimoni would solve Pasuk Yidal. But working with the Yalkut Shimoni, the Malbim says, if you look at these eight psukim, he says, I think I can explain. It seemed like back and forth, and things are working, not working, are working, not working. He's in and out. He says, with this approach to Yalkut Shimoni, I'm not sure how you deal with Pasuk Yidalf, but he says, but I can tell you I deal with Sukkim Gimel through Yud. He says, there are four parts here. Pasuk Gimel is the intro, or I should say, Pasuk Gimel is the summary, the abstract. The basic title of everything that's going on here, if you want the executive summary, is Pasuk Gimel. Karasi mitzara li elashava yaneni. That Adavi says that the overall story, Yonah says, is that I davened to Kadosh Baruch Hu and I was in the depths of Sheol, the depths of Gehenna. Mibetan Sheol Shivati. I'm crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu from the depths. And Shamata calling you, and you heard my voice. And then he unpacks it. And the remaining psukim of the tefillah, the Malbim suggests, fall into three parts. In the first fish, and then the second fish, and then the resolution. Psukim Dalet and Hey are in the first fish. You threw me, he says, Yonah says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you threw me into the water. You threw me into the water. And he says, and I was surrounded, Nahar Yusovaveni, there was a river surrounding me, going around and around. I said, what does that mean? Before, I have a river in the middle of the ocean. He says, the Malbim says it probably was a whirlpool. The Nahar Yisovaveni. There was water flowing all around him. So you imagine how frightening that was. He's in the vortex, literally. He's thrown into the ocean, and as he falls in, he's surrounded by spinning water. And Amarti, Pasukei Nigrashti, Minegeinecha. I said, at that moment, Yonah said, I despaired. I thought it's all over. I'm gone. Kadosh Baruch Hu has given up on me. And it's all over. Ach osif lahabit echa kachecha. But then I realized that I will yet see your heichal once again. Why? Because he was caught by the first fish. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu, he realized that Kadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of him. And it's interesting. He says, Atashli Cheni. He says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you threw me into the water. And that's reminiscent of what the sailors had said at the end of the first parak, where they turned to Kadosh Baruch Hu and said, Kasher Chafatzta Sisa, this is on you, Rav Sholem. It's our hands that are putting him into the ocean, but it was, Rav Sholem, it was your decision. So that's what Yonah seems to be reflecting here also. Now that he ended up in the first fish, or now the end of the second fish, looking back, he says, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who tossed me into the water. Now that's always true. That's always true. Here it was perhaps a little more obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had been driving events with the storm. So that's sort of Yonah's reflection on the first, those two psukim, Dalet and Hey, are the reflections or the first act. The first act in the story. In the water the first time and then into the fish. I thought Nigrashti, I thought it was all over, but Ach Osif, there was a sense of hope that came from the Hatzalah. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved them, and that generated a sense of hope. They may yet even get back to Beis HaMikdash, which again was at that point still a stretch. His life was saved, but Osif LaHabit HaHechal Kachecha, he's dreaming big. And then, as he said before, well, but now then again, Pasagov, he's back in the water again. Why is he back in the water again? Things are once again dark in Pasagav. Afafuni Maim Ad Nefesh, Tahom Yisovaveini. It's even darker, the Malbim points out, than before. Now he's not just in the middle of the sea, as he was in Pasuk Dalet, Levav Yamim, he's in the depths, Tahom Yisovaveini. He's all the way in deep water. Yeah, because at this point, the first time he had been thrown into the water by the sailors, he landed in the surface. Then he began to go down, he was caught by a whirlpool, he's pulled down, and then he's caught by the first fish. But when the first fish spits him out, the approach of the Yalkut Shimoni, that wasn't at sea level. That was deep, deep, deep below. See, he spat out by the first fish when he wasn't responding. He was becoming complacent. The shlosha yamu shlosha leilos badag. So afafuni maim bad nefesh, pasuk vav. Now he's spat back into water. And he's in the deep, deep, deep in the water. Deep in the water. Lekitz viharim yaradati. He's below the mountains. He's all the way. He's on the ocean bed. And then va'atal mishachas chayai Hashem Elokai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just save me from the water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me back up. Now that daga, that second fish, it was almost like a submarine. It brought him. It was able to transport him from a deep water back to the top of the ocean, the surface. Yeah. And at the same time, so now he's saved. But he says he was saved, but his life was saved. But at this point, it wasn't comfortable. B'hisatef alai nafshi, es Hashem zacharti. He's in his life for the moment is saved, but he was being squeezed, and that's when he turns to Ribbono Shel Olam. At that point, I begin to daven. Now, Yonah had been very bothered, so he's sort of forced to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's intriguing, right, before you even get to sort of the third act, as it were, the third stage here, the last couple of psukim, he's already reflecting now on experiences he had had several days ago. In other words, he had thought all was lost the first time, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him. But that didn't move him to tshuva. Later on, he finally gets to the point where he turns a corner and says, I need to turn back to Ribbono Shel Olam. Now he's, at this point, in the Daga, round two, he's equipped to be able to not only sort of process what brought, he hit rock bottom, as it were, now he's equipped to process what had happened 3 days earlier. When it was happening, when he ended up in the Daga, so he realized he was saved, but he didn't really say, okay, I better turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He continued. That's a powerful limud. That sometimes we're not really equipped yet to... You need to get to a certain point to be able to not only appreciate what happened to you then, but be able to appreciate what happened to you earlier on. But then what's fascinating also is how things close. Because you remember, okay, so now he's been squeezed, and now he's been saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu twice, and at this point he's been saved, it's clear that Ribbono Shel Olam is squeezing him, he finally turns back to Ribbono Shel Olam, and he recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been holding his hand. He also had a kasha, though, because that's how we had opened. We had opened with Perek Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him. Yonah was a man who believed in Ribbono Shel Olam. Yonah was a Navi, an extraordinary tzaddik who had communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he was bothered. How can I do this? It was a kasha he was grappling with. So what happened to his kasha? And now he finally turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And he's about, his metamorphosis is almost complete because he's about to be spat onto the dry land and in Paragimel accede to the divine request. So what happens beforehand? So there was a recognition, there was the pressure and the need in the rock bottom.
And that enabled him to, on the one hand, look back and notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been taking care of me, I need to respond. But how does he deal with his kasha? So it seems like there are two elements. The last two psukim of the tefillah, pasuk tes and pasuk yud. On the one hand, meshamrim havle shav chasdam yazovu. Those who follow avodah zarah, they're not going to be taken care of. They're going to let go of their chesed. In other words, Malbim explains, he says the people of Nineveh, they're so locked into their avodah zarah, they may do tshuva temporarily, but it's not really going to be a thoroughgoing tshuva. They may let go of some of the dishonesty here and there. They'll give back some of the stolen goods, but they're not going to make a profound life change. So on the one hand, he says to himself, maybe it won't be so bad. His kasha was, how can I enable them to do tshuva? I'm thereby throwing Kalasa on the bus. So he says to himself, maybe I'm not. Chasam Yazovu, they're really going to give up all that avodah zarah? Nah. So that's the one piece. He sees a possibility for how things, he begins, his perspective begins to broaden. I see things could work out. I was so locked into, I'm going to go to Nineveh, here's it's going to play out. Things might play out differently. He's noticing things played out the last couple of days radically differently from anything he could have dreamt. And then, but there's another piece also. And the one that rationally he sees, my perspective is broader. Now I can imagine things may play out differently. But there's the other piece, which is Pasuk Yud. And Nibe Kol Toda Ez B'chal Hashem, Es Hashem Adarti Ashalema. I'm going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to bring carbon toad. I'm going to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for saving me. And with that, Yeshua Sal Hashem. I'm going to rely that Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Yeshua ultimately comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, at the same time that his own perspective is broadened, is also read that maybe things could work out. He himself sees how things could work out differently. He's also humbled to understand that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. Yeshua Sal Hashem. The Yeshua is going to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As much as Yonah felt that he wanted to control everything, he recognized he needs to step back and needs to do his part, but ultimately he needs to follow Dvar Hashem. And it's with that humility, that combination of greater perspective and greater humility, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him back onto land, and with that he's prepared to go where he had not gone before. Thank you so much. We will and Mitzvah, we're going to head to Meirv now. Mitzvah, we will continue to explore Yonah next week.